Columbus.
Good evening, I'm Nate Pooterball, their sports update. Earlier today, prior to their arbitration hearing, the Columbus Blue Jackets announced forward Cole Sillinger re-signed with the team for a reported three-year, $13.875 million deal. This will keep him with the CBJ through the 2028-2029 season. LeBron James has made his final NBA decision, announcing he signed a two-year, $8 million deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. The Cleveland Guardians are in Tampa Bay tonight to open a three-game series. They sit a game and a half back in the AL Central. Chase DeLauter takes the mound for Cleveland against Yandy Diaz. First pitch is at 7:10. The Cincinnati Reds are in St. Louis to open a series with the Cardinals. Rhett Lauder is set to battle the Cardinals' Dustin May. First pitch is at 8:15. Catchy action right here on The Fan. And in NFL news, multiple reports have learned CBS NFL analyst and former Dallas Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo has been arrested in Milwaukee on suspicion of operating a vehicle while under the influence. Breaking sports news, women's of The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
Bring it up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
No one got to stand in the way.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! Grand record for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3. Yeah.
This is the Buckeye Show.
Oh, my goodness. This is the Buckeye Show. I'm Tim May. That's Patrick Patrick Murphy. I have him in my cell phone. Patrick Crew joining you here tonight. I guess Beamer's got the night off.
He's
probably playing golf somewhere.
He's
playing with his kids.
I believe he's back home in Dayton. Oh. They had something going on. He was telling me yesterday. He was leaving right after the show yesterday with his dad to head, I think, back to Dayton.
Gotcha. Yeah, you know, you can pick up this show almost all the way to Dayton, so I hope he's having a good time. You and I got a lot to talk about tonight, man.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a lot about Ohio State football, of course. It is the Buckeye Show. But, you know, your favorite basketball player of all time, LeBron James, has landed with the Philadelphia Sixers. They don't even go by 76ers anymore, right?
They are still the 76ers.
Oh, really? Okay. Everybody calls them the Sixers. I don't like that abbreviation stuff, you know?
Well, I guess 76ers is an abbreviation.
I'm going to call you Rick instead of Patrick.
Murph.
Yeah, just, Murph.
Just like to point out real quick, this wide shot for the YouTube is real awkward right now.
Why is that?
There's a noticeable difference in something
because
between the two of you.
Hey, you know what? See, listen, you are who you are at this point in your life. You're happily married. You've got a good, steady job, paying job, and you're never going to get any taller. So why you live with it like Muggsy Bogues?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. But and that was Nate Pooterbaugh. You ought to see him live. But I digress. Bottom line is, what do you think about him picking the Sixers?
I'm not surprised. I know a lot of people locally were hoping for the Cavs, and there was a lot of buzz about the Heat. But I think the Sixers have the best roster. If he's wants to end it on a winning note, they got Jaylen Brown early this offseason.
Right.
They have, in addition to Joel Embiid, they've got some young talent. So. Look, if it's about winning, because he's only getting paid like $3.55 million this year.
Yeah.
So I think this sets up on paper, assuming health, because there are some injury concerns. I think they'll be certainly one of the best teams in the East, if not in the league.
I look at it as he doesn't have to be the front man every night, like a rock and roll band. He doesn't have to necessarily be that guy. And I think it's a hell of a choice by him. And I think if he'd come back to Cleveland again, that would have been... Well, who cares? I mean, seriously, I know Cleveland Cav fans probably would have cared, and wherever else he went would have been interesting. But, yeah, this is a well-played shot by him. I think you agree with that, right?
Yeah, look, he said, if you believe his series of tweets today, that he really pondered retirement after the Lakers got knocked out of the playoffs. I think in an ideal world, had everything worked out, he would have stayed in L.A., finished his career because they love, living out there, him and his wife, Savannah. Obviously, he was playing with Bronny. His other son, Bryce, is at Arizona or Arizona State, one of those, so not far. But once it was clear that those sides were parting, I think it made sense. And look, now he's close to New York. I saw something today that said, that reported that maybe he's considering living in New York and just in and out of Philly. And then he's not far from Cleveland if he wants to get back to, or Akron, I guess. So, I think there's a lot that makes sense. But again, I understand that a lot of people listening to this are going to be disappointed that he's not on the Cavs.
Yeah, maximum 45-minute helicopter flight for him.
Be careful with helicopter flights.
Exactly. That's not where you want to go. But bottom line is, you feel good for him, and now it's over. Was it worth the drama, though?
Did well, it's LeBron. I mean, everything is.
Yeah,
everything is. Attention.
Over the top.
Yes, for sure. And a lot of people think he wants this. I don't know if he does or not. I don't know the guy. But when you're arguably the best player to ever play the game, whatever you do, especially in today's world, is going to be followed closely. So
it's just, yeah.
Could he have made this decision a lot quicker? I guess. But it's also, it's his decision to make, right?
Yeah.
And I think in times when you've changed jobs or I've changed jobs, it's, you got to give it a consideration, right? And not that it's quite the same for him, but, this is probably his, as he called it, his last decision. So
it's just life moves so fast, because I remember it was almost this time of the year, a little bit earlier in the summer. I covered him at the Summer League games down in Orlando when he was a rookie with the Cavaliers and stuff. And Boozer was his teammate. Not Nal's Boozer, Boozer's dad was his teammate, and all these guys were down there, and he only played in a couple of games, and then they moved on. But the bottom line is just, man, life moves fast, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in DC when the Cavs got the first pick, and I remember the newspaper that day, even in DC, I think it was the Washington Post, like, oh, LeBron, him and his high school stuff or whatever, but like LeBron Cavs perfect marriage or something like that was the headline. And, that doesn't seem that long ago, but he's now about to play like his 48th season or something like that.
Man, was he a player coming out of high school?
He's still a player. Like, there's an NBA guy who I follow that's an analytics guy, and he pointed out, LeBron is not the LeBron that you think of, right? The Miami Heat, when he went back to Cleveland, but he still, as much as he has quote unquote fallen off from his peak, he's still a very, very good player. And especially if you're getting him on a minimum contract.
You're not about to sing a late Toby Keith song, are you?
No, but I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, I'm as good once as I ever was.
Yeah, I got it.
But I agree. I mean, it's like, I always imagined this is the pressure that was on a player of his ilk, just like with Michael Jordan. Imagine getting tickets to a Cavs game or a Bulls game at the height of their powers when they were with those teams, and getting there that night and LeBron wasn't playing.
Yeah.
I mean, how disappointed could a person be with something like that? What intrigued me about LeBron is he showed up almost every night.
Yeah. He recently
but put on a show.
He talked about this. He was at Fanatics Fan Fest doing a live show with Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese Halliburton asked him, what's your most underrated quality? And he said, my availability.
Amen.
And even, recently he's had some injuries late in his career, but he's still playing 60 plus games a season at 40, 41. And look, I mean, also to be as famous as he was coming out of high school. I mean, we cover high school kids, like, to be that level.
Oh, yeah.
And then to never have anything really the worst thing he ever did was publicly decide he's going to Miami from Cleveland on television.
Right? Yes.
Like maybe there's stuff we don't know, but that comes out for a lot of people in the limelight. I mean, he's had this long career. Everyone's watching his every move, and he's never been in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. So I give it up to him going out the way he wants to go out and possibly on a run there. I mean, surround yourself with players, maybe some of whom at this moment might be a little bit better than you.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a lot of, self-reflection, a lot of humility, but you want to go out a winner if you can. So you feel good for LeBron in that respect, to be able to make that call.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about, speaking of things from the past, we're going to talk about a lot of things tonight on this show, one of which is the SEC speaking like it's 2022 again. Right at their SEC media meetings. We're going to talk about Julian Sayin in a couple of ways. One of which is, wow, what a catch. And another is, can he run? Will he run the way you want him to? And what will set him apart this year? Because you and I don't get together that often. But I want to talk about Julian Sayin, and I'll leave you hanging there on what a catch. just follow me on Twitter or other people on Twitter. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about, though. And, we're going to talk about who we think our top four teams in the nation are right now. The May Murphy poll, or the Murphy May poll.
Ooh.
Huh?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
Just going in, and are we giving too much shrift to the Big Ten, the Big Three, and the Big Ten? I think that's very curious. I had Phil Steele on my podcast today. I had him and then John U. Bacon, to talk about what's going on at Michigan or what has gone on at Michigan.
Went on at Michigan?
Yeah, exactly. But John U. Bacon,
yes,
man.
Yes.
I love the smell of bacon frying. But Phil Steele, I'd never had him on before, and he says he's read me forever, and I go, same thing here, man. He has the Bible of major college football, the preseason book, and we'll talk about some of the things he told me in that show, which I found very intriguing. But we're going to talk about a lot of things, and especially we're going to throw a little segment in there talking about the expectations for Ohio State basketball now, and what is the perception of Ohio State basketball right now? Because I think it's pretty high based on things I've seen, the fact that Jake Diebler's let the media in to watch some of this summer stuff, which I think is cool. When are they leaving? They're leaving for their trip,
next week?
Next week, yeah. And so it'll be interesting to see what comes down over there. Too bad all those games. Will those games be on television?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, so we'll have to take word of mouth from like Gary Pettit and some of those. Pettit and the Union Gap.
Maybe Adam Jardy. We had him on last
maybe
night.
Maybe Adam Jardy. Absolutely Adam Jardy. But it'll be interesting to see how well the pieces are coming together. Like I said, it's a jigsaw puzzle that Jake Diebler's got to put together. But, man, there are some nice parts to that jigsaw puzzle. Agreed?
Oh, for sure. It's setting up, but we'll get into that.
So we'll talk about that and a lot more. We got our producer, Nate Puderball, who's already taken a shot at you. we got our producer, Nate Puderball.
Maybe he was just saying you were too tall.
Yeah, he's going to hit us.
You were making my camera view a little weird.
Yeah. Sorry about that, man. Like I said, we need to get a camera on you, but the bottom line is we're going to talk about a lot of things tonight, including having Dylan Davis on from DelGazette.com talking about Ohio State stuff. He and I just played golf today up at Oak Haven, north of Delaware, had a great time. Boy, is that golf course in good shape. I swear the greens were rolling like 9, if not 10. I mean, the greens were unbelievable, but, we'll be talking about that and a lot more when we return here on the Buckeye Show, 97.1 The Fan.
Front Office Methods, your authorized RICO dealer, can help your business optimize your print production with a competitive advantage. Our digital printing options will expand the type of paper and substrates from what your business can print on today. Add variable data capability, which allows for personalization of catalogs and mailers, and the ability for short-run label printing, which allows your business to print high volumes of custom labels quickly and on demand. Want to learn more? Start with a print assessment at MomNet.com. Why risk it? You can count on Mom.
There's one medical team in Central Ohio skilled enough to care for your favorite Ohio State team and Buckeyes everywhere. The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center is your choice for the most highly specialized orthopedic and sports medicine care. Our surgeons, physicians, and physical therapists have access to the most advanced treatments and innovative recovery approaches to get you back in your game. Because on or off the field, our team is your team. The choice for your orthopedic care is clear.
Hosting a passionate crew of Buckeye fans? Revamp your rec room for an epic watch party with power reclining sofas, massaging recliners, entertainment centers, and coffee tables from Bob's. They even have sofas with drop-down tables for snacks and bevs. Shop in-store or online to score big on an incredible game day setup at Bob's Everyday Low Prices. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
The future for recycling is now at Rumpke Waste and Recycling. The recycling leader has opened North America's largest, most technologically advanced recycling center right here in Central Ohio. This one-of-a-kind facility features interactive displays, educational opportunities, and the ability to process over 60 tons of recycled material per hour. Rumpke is committed to recycling and sustainability efforts. And for more than 90 years, Rumpke has worked to make sure the items you place in your recycling bin get used again. Visit Rumpke.com to learn how you can team with Rumpke to put less trash in our landfills and more of it to good use.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
As America's largest custom home builder, Schumacher Homes believes a top-quality home should be affordable for everyone in the Buckeye State. We work with the leading architects to bring you the latest in design, and then you have the ability to make changes. Not just selecting finishes, but moving walls, walls, adding rooms, literally customizing anything from the ground up. It's a misconception that custom homes have to be expensive. We work within your budget to build an amazing home on your land. Visit SchumacherHomes.com or any of our 9 Ohio locations.
Things are popping at Al's Delicious Popcorn. With over 80 flavors to choose from, we have something for everyone. From classics like caramel cashew, white cheddar, and our famous vanilla butternut, to new flavors like chicken and waffles and spicy barbecue. They are all made fresh and they are all delicious. Visit us online at alspopcorn.com or come see us and experience the best service in town at 1500 Bethel Road in Columbus. Al's Delicious Popcorn.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Probably glad you guys are in the forecast here for tonight as we see temperatures down into the lower to middle 60s here for the overnight low. And then on your Saturday, we're tracking more sunshine and highs back into the lower to middle 80s for the afternoon. We'll see more sunshine on Sunday with highs into the mid to upper 80s. And then we are tracking some heat here for early next week with highs around 90 on Monday, but also tracking showers and storms in the forecast here for Monday and Tuesday. That's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Someone out there probably thinks we spend too much time talking about the Buckeyes. Please tell someone that they're stupid. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
I put Patrick Murphy in charge of telling people they're stupid.
Patrick, I'm not very good at it.
I know, I'm not very good at it either, because there would be a lot of... It would be a lot of people I'd be talking to in that realm, especially friends of mine who are still down in Southeastern Conference territory, and talking about the past like it's the present. What do you think about that?
Yeah, look, not only has the SEC not won the national championship in three straight seasons, they haven't even played for the game. We were talking about this last night on the show with Beam, like. Ole Miss made the semifinals, but they had to beat an SEC team. You know, so one SEC team was going through,
right?
In that sense, and like, look, I mean, making the semifinals, but this is not the conference. You know, last night we're talking about Nick Saban and some of his comments he made, and I really like Nick Saban as a pundit for the most part.
I do too,
but
everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Yes, and that's what I was going to say. Like, he has his opinions, and obviously, he has those come from a certain background of coaching in the SEC for a long time. So, but that's not Nick Saban's SEC anymore.
No.
And you know, I think there's a number of reasons why that might be, but the fact is, you know, is the Big Ten the best conference? Top to bottom, I don't know. You could make arguments either way, but when you win three straight national championships and it's not the same team every year, that says something about what the Big Ten's done.
And when Nick Saban is saying one team winning a national title doesn't mean the rest of your conference is good, pot kettle.
Oh, absolutely. His reign of terror in the SEC, you know, was the SEC that stacked when he was having his reign of terror over those many years at Alabama when he won six national championships?
Well, and how do we determine this,
Exactly.
Because the rankings... preseason set the standard for how you evaluate these teams throughout the year, right? And so if you have, and I'm not saying anything most people who follow college football don't know, but if you set the standard at the beginning of the year of there are eight SEC teams
that are really good,
right? And then, you know, Alabama beats Auburn at the end of the year and Auburn finishes 6-6, but wait, Auburn was preseason number 10 or whatever, you know, just as an example.
Yes.
Like, Alabama somehow gets credit for that. And both conferences have good teams. Both conferences have teams that aren't that good. You know, I know I've heard people make the argument about the atmospheres in the SEC and whatnot. Like, you've been to Camp Randall. You've been to State College. Like, I'm not saying those are the same as Death Valley at night necessarily.
No, they're not.
I mean, it doesn't make it an easy place to play.
Penn State's a pretty tough place to play. I've talked about this before. I was on Feinbaum's show one time talking about this. I said, like last year or sometime, but I said, there is no doubt that the atmosphere, I've talked about this morning on the fan here, on Bo Bishop's show, who he wasn't even there, which is interesting that it's his show.
Bo Bishop show without
Bo.
Yeah,
the Bo Bishop show without Bo, but Eric Reeser and Joshua Perry, two of my favorite people. But the bottom line is, there's no doubt on game day atmosphere before a game in the SEC, because I've been to a few of those in my little off times now, like at South Carolina last year, Alabama at South Carolina. It was, as the old saying goes, it was off the hook.
Why do you think that is? Why is that different?
Because those people, dude, I'm not those people. Like, they really like their college football. Like NASCAR, people like their NASCAR stock car racing. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan. But the bottom line is they really like their team. They like their university. There are hangers-on who, you know, didn't even go to those universities. My baby brother, who didn't go to Alabama, but my dad did, graduated from there in like 1950. But my baby brother still lives and breathes and dies with Alabama football. And meanwhile, I'm sitting there in the stands, and I didn't really care. I just really liked being there. Shane Beamer, I've really liked him. I got to meet him a long time ago when he was hanging around with his dad before Florida State and Virginia Tech played for that national championship mm-hmm. back in, what was it, 99?
Yeah.
I got to be there because Ohio State wasn't in a bowl game that year, believe that or not. But the point is, the atmosphere is off the hook almost everywhere you go. I mean, the Grove before an Ole Miss game. Arkansas has great atmosphere, even though they stink. You know, they've stunk the last several years. But don't equate that. I keep saying, yeah. don't equate game day atmosphere with the game being played.
Yeah, I've been saying this recently, like you always see like Neyland is like number two on like the hardest places to play at. If it's so hard to play at Neyland, how come Tennessee has lost to everyone for 25 years?
Well, they haven't. They haven't lost to everyone for 25 years. That's hyperbole by Nate Puderball.
But it's not that far off.
But it's not that far off. But number two, when you go into Neyland Stadium, you know, just like when teams come into Ohio Stadium, they get jacked. I mean, you know, it's that old line. It's more fun beating a team when you're on the road than it is sometimes winning at home because you just shut up 100,000 people. But Neyland Stadium, and I'm not knocking that place whatsoever. That is one of the palaces of major college football. But like you said, that doesn't guarantee anything in terms of a win. But I think a lot of people who cover that sport or around that sport, they are jacked up as much by the atmosphere as they are the football being played. Otherwise, I mean, look at their bowl record the last several years compared to the Big Ten. Right on down the line, the Big Ten. And then how do you compare number 7 through number 15 in the Big Ten to number 7 through number 15 in the SEC, except right. for bowl games, the occasional head-to-head meetings. And then they give you that big line. When they lose those bowl games, well, that doesn't really mean that much to us like it does to you.
It just means less.
Yeah, it just means less, the bowl games. That should be their slogan. That's why I find it funny. They're not on board with the 2014 playoff, you know,
because right.
that would get more of their non-deserving teams in it. But and then, of course, you know, we saw the thing where Steve Sarkisian went off about, you know, they had not lost to Ohio State last year. They would have been in the playoff. Basically, what he's saying is, if they had not played Ohio State last year, right. Texas, they would not have had that loss if they'd played like Buffalo or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, yeah, but you know what? You lost to a really mediocre Florida team.
They lost to a really bad Florida team.
And I told you, I'm talking about this morning, I watched them almost lose to a bad Kentucky team. They almost lost to a record-wise, because I don't want to hurt my boy Clay Hall's feelings, a bad Mississippi State team. So don't tell me you deserve to be in the playoffs last year. That was, what a joke. And really, Alabama, you know, just got in by the skin of their teeth, and they right. ended up playing another SEC team and advancing, meaning playing Oklahoma. So like you were talking about Ole Miss, you know, and Alabama, both, they beat SEC teams in the playoffs.
Right.
But that's a playoff win. So
right.
I don't know. I just haven't liked the fact they're always referring to how things were like they still are that way. You know, it's kind of like mid-century modern furniture in your modern living room.
Yeah, look, it's...
My wife's just got mad because she loves mid-century modern.
Oh, okay. Well, is she listening?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah. I think the good news is that you're going to see it on the field, right? With the expanded playoff and whatnot, like teams are going to play. And eventually, this will quiet down if the SEC keeps not winning and the Big Ten keeps having success.
Think about if Georgia hadn't been around in 21 and 22 and won those two straight championships,
right.
including beating Ohio State after Ohio State. Well, we won't replay that game again because they're in the IF conference. The Big Ten is in the NOW conference. Just think if Georgia hadn't bailed them out those 2 years, Stetson Bennett, a guy Georgia tried to run off as their starting as their quarterback, several times, and he ends up winning two straight national championships. You're right. I mean, all you have to go on really is the tournament. But we know even in basketball, the best team doesn't always win the NCAA tournament in basketball.
Right.
Am I right about that?
Yeah.
And that's what a tournament is. When you get into a tournament, anybody can have an off night. You can lose a key player, and it changes everything. But that shouldn't necessarily be a referendum on how good or bad your conference is.
No, not necessarily. I mean, you're creating a full picture here, right?
Yeah.
And that's part of it. You know, the head-to-head is part of it. Like, that's the job of the committee to kind of evaluate that. That's what they've been tasked with. And do they do the perfect job? No. But I think, you know, it's there is no perfect way to do it.
Well, you know, it's funny. I heard Joshua Perry this morning talking about it. I think he and Eric Reeser were talking about maybe they should go back to the BCS formula.
I've said that.
I know, but everybody, dude, back then, as you well know, everybody was on the BCS formula. And the thing about it is, even those computer rankings, which are really good, but they're all different.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on what is loaded into the computer pretty much at the beginning of the year.
Right.
That kind of weights everything. Like you talked about, the SEC goes in with this staggering weight on their side based on basically hyperbole about how good the conference is and that conference is, in my opinion, and this is kind of using the word as it's meant to be used, is sort of mediocre from about 4 through like 12.
Yeah.
By mediocre, it means anybody can beat anybody.
Yeah.
And then one of those teams can rise up and beat you on a bad day.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it's a great stacked conference. It's among themselves. That's why they ought to be happy about the 9-game conference schedule, because they're all going to have a shot. But the bad thing is they're all going to have a shot.
Right. Well, and I think, too, you know, you look at where the top recruits are coming from. It's the SEC, the South, right? And that region, that's where a lot of the recruits are coming from. I also think there was a point in time, and maybe you were different here, and maybe people would disagree, but if I were just turning on any college football game, I was more likely to turn on an SEC game, because at some point I think they had the best, deepest conference. I don't think that's the case anymore. And I think, you know, I'd gladly turn on a Big Ten game and over an SEC game at this point.
But my point is, you can have two teams that are equal weight and put on a hell of a football game.
Absolutely.
I guess that's my point. That doesn't mean they're head and shoulders above mediocre teams in the Big Ten is my point. We're going to come back. We're going to keep talking, because that's what we're paid to do. And we're going to talk about Julian Sayin.
All right.
You want to talk about Julian Sayin in all kinds of facets here on 97.1 The Fan, The Buckeye Show.
Was that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance is prepared for what's next and protects what matters most to you. With independent insurance agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova Insurance is an easy win for your peace of mind. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We here at The Fan believe there's no such thing as too much Ohio State coverage. You're locked in to The Buckeye Show.
Locked and loaded into The Buckeye Show. I'm Tim May. That's Patrick Murphy, or as I call him, Patrick Crew. By the way, I think you saw that I came around during the World Cup about really, really enjoying almost every game I watched in the World Cup.
It did seem like you were enjoying it more.
Better late than never, is that what you're thinking?
Yeah,
better late than never for me about soccer. Because like I said, I covered the Columbus Magic. The Columbus Magic did not play on that level.
No,
and, that was... And I hate to say this, the Crew doesn't play on that level.
No.
And that's what's cool, is watching a game where, you know, we've been talking about this for a long time, about Ohio State football has transformed itself from a speed standpoint, from the speed quotient over the last 25 years. I mean, you go down and stand on the sidelines at an Ohio State, you know, Michigan game, or Ohio State, Texas game, things are moving extremely fast and big fellas are running into each other and actually sort of hurting each other in reality, not like in soccer. But the point is, big time World Cup soccer, some of those teams were just playing at a rapid velocity. And that's fun to watch. And the things they could do with the ball was just unbelievable. And the goal, several of the goalkeepers, goaltenders, whatever you call them, don't call them late for the penalty kick, just were off the chart about some of their athletic ability, the ability to leap left and right, much less high. And I love watching the top level of anything. Mm-hmm. And that was it. So you've got a convert.
Well, look at that.
Huh?
Look at that.
All right.
You've made it.
I know. And I remind people, and Messi plays in the MLS.
He does. There were quite a few players in the World Cup to play in MLS.
There you go. So it's
getting
there. By
the way, MLS, not the MLS.
Oh, MLS, not the MLS, whatever that means. Yeah. Is that like the artist formerly known as Prince?
Well, it's because it stands for Major League Soccer. So you wouldn't say like the Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
Like you'd say the National Football
But if I'm talking about,
League.
If I'm using just the abbreviation, like, you know, if you say RBIs, you know, he led the team in RBIs, that it's already runs batted in. So you're being redundant with the
yes. Yeah, that is.
You see what I mean? So I can actually say whatever I want.
Funny thing about
I say complimentary things about MLS.
Yeah, there you go. Funny thing about MLS and being redundant. The MLS website, MLSsoccer.com. So that's Major League Soccer, soccer.com.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. It's delineated Patrick Crew and Tim May talking to you live from the 97.1 studios here in downtown. We're just on the fringes of downtown Columbus, but within three goal kicks from the Columbus Crew Stadium, whatever it's called now. What's the name of it now?
Scott's Miracle-Gro Field. I was there just there go. Earlier
I got
today.
A buddy of mine, Calvin Lyle, worked at Scott's for a long time. One of my great friends. I used to buy hay from him. But bottom line is, Julian's saying, I think he's having a pretty good offseason in terms of his name getting out there, in terms of appearances. I remember going to talk to him about Panini and their World Cup, speaking of everything dovetailing, their World Cup promotion, you know, with their cards and stuff. And in that picture came out, what was this week on Instagram or late last week? Tell people what that picture shows.
Yeah, I guess, and the Columbus Dispatch did a story on it, the headline, I'll read it to you. Does Julian Sain have a girlfriend? Meet the woman linked to the Ohio State quarterback. And it has. She posted three pictures of them on Instagram together. I will say it appears they are a couple.
Yeah,
based on the pictures. So good for Julian. I will say that's kind of where I'll leave it.
And what's that line? Without getting too sexist or anything else, she's easy on the eyes.
Yeah,
is that the best way of putting it?
They are a good-looking couple.
Yeah,
yeah. I think I think there are plenty of people that think Julian's a good-looking guy, and she's definitely a good-looking girl. I think they make a good couple together.
I referenced this last year.
Assuming they are a couple.
I referenced this last year. I think he's a more handsome Timothy Chalamet. He has that kind of look
have
about
that look,
him, you know?
Yeah.
Especially when he parts his hair down the middle and all that kind of stuff. So, but I'll leave it at that. The bottom line is, but can he run? Can he run the football? Is too much being made of can he run the football? If he just runs for one touchdown against Texas, are you hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
Against Texas, makes one great run against Texas, all bets are off.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Heisman Trophy. Because he's going to throw the ball with a plum.
Yeah, we know that.
But what do you think about this question that keeps coming up about whether he can or will run the football? We saw it in the spring game, but, you know, let's face it, he had the black jersey on. And if anybody had hit him, they would have been immediately, there would have been a special transfer portal.
Yeah.
What do they call that? The special supplemental transfer portal.
Yeah.
For that player to move on.
Ejected for targeting.
Yes.
From the program.
Yes.
I think it's an interesting story because, look, we don't need to watch Julian run like he is, you know, Michael Vick or Braxton Miller or
Lamar
guys
Jackson.
Like that. Yes. Like, it just needs to be something he can pull out every once in a while. Dave Biddle and I talk about this a lot. Joe Burrow, I think, is a really good comp. Now, obviously, they're very different quarterbacks.
Amen, though. Amen.
But the way that Joe Burrow uses his legs for, hey, I'm going to scramble around in the backfield. I'm going to buy time if my offensive line breaks down. Or on a random occasion when there's nobody open, but there's a lot of grass between me and that next defender.
Amen.
I'm going to go pick up 8 yards on first down, and now we're in second and two, and things are a lot easier, right? The other thing I think with Julian, we saw the struggle in this department last year, those quarterback sneaks. He's got to get that down because
amen.
That should be, you know, not a free touchdown, but when you get, or a free first down, but when you get that close, if you can have a quarterback who can do that effectively, you know, you see it with the Philadelphia Eagles and the tush push stuff, but just the quarterback sneak in general. And I don't know what it is, but he has not been effective in that. So it's just these little moments in games,
yeah.
And especially with the big games they're going to play. And you and I've talked about this. Like, I think the offensive line is going to be fine this year. I think it'll be good this year.
I think it's going to be really good.
But
my man Phil Steele thinks they're going to be really good.
Right? Doesn't he have them as the best offensive line?
One of the top two. Yeah. Top three.
So on the occasion in these bigger games, and there's more bigger games, you're going to Texas, USC, Oregon, Iowa, Michigan, Indiana, like all these teams.
You could read almost the whole schedule
right.
And not really be hurting yourself there.
Yeah. If he can just pick up the odd 5 to 6 yards here or there, and look, if he ends up having a big run, great. That just adds to it. But just being that threat of it is going to keep the defense honest. And then when he does do it, you gain some cheap yards.
Here's where he needs to run. He needs to run like you just talked about, off schedule, meaning not tuck his arm like JT Barrett. That was the default button for Urban Meyer. Yeah. Let JT Barrett go pick up the first down.
QB third, left, whatever. QB right, QB up the middle.
QB up the middle. Sometimes maybe up left tackle, because JT Barrett was a hell of a running quarterback. I think he gets his just due. But the bottom line is he needs to be the guy that runs off schedule. Just when you, like you said, if you look up and then right instantly, you can see the Mike linebacker has vacated the premises. And let's say Carson Hensman's taken the nose guard and shoved him into the oblivion over here. And there's going to be 10 yards before you're ever touched. Mm-hmm. You got to be willing to go do that and take that. And occasionally, naked boot is never a bad call.
Right.
And because he always has the threat of just throwing the ball out of the naked boot and things like that. So, yeah, that's where he has to step up. And I think he will. I mean, you get all the impressions you get from talking to people and Ryan Day, right? You know, usually when Ryan Day wishes something, it usually comes true. You know what I mean?
Especially with quarterbacks.
Yes, exactly. The quarterback wisher. but the bottom line is I think he will be, and that will set him apart. And that's really because you and I both know the offensive line looks like it's going to be much better because it's going to be five guys up there that, right, instead of four.
That is the assumption.
And watching out for that right guard situation. Mm-hmm. If Cyrville, we've talked about it a million times, if Cyrville is that right guard or whatever they end up doing there, I think it's because Cyrville's going to play.
Right.
If Ian Moore's at left tackle, you know what I mean? That where he looks pretty good in that spot, Cyrville has to play because he's one of the best linemen in the Big Ten, much less on the Ohio State football team.
Right.
So if they've got that figured out, this offense, my friend, is going places.
Yeah.
And the quarterback touches the ball on every play. I don't know if you know that or not.
I've heard that before.
Almost every play. And that means the guy who's going to benefit the most from this offense going places is going to be the quarterback.
Yeah.
And if he can just show the willingness to run on occasion, off schedule, like I say, because that's when he will be the most effective. I mean, he's not Fran Tarkenton. Nobody knows who that was.
We know who Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah, you and I both know that because we're steeped in football lore. But he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Josh Allen.
Yeah.
But man, or Patrick Mahomes. You can name like half the NFL quarterbacks now are of that ilk because you got to be willing and able to go get those free yards that they gift you every game. If he does that, I think he's going places. And now he has this photo out there showing what a clean-cut All-American young man he is.
Yep.
And that's good things for him. I think it helps his Q rating.
Yeah. Well, and like it's a reminder, like, this is a guy. He has a social life. He has life outside of football. Now, you know, we want him, we want to talk football with him, and fans want him to be thinking football all the time, but he's got to have something. The one guy, and you've probably covered other guys like this, but the one guy that comes to mind when I think of like maybe no social life was Justin Fields. Now, we covered him during COVID, so he wasn't going out a ton.
Right.
But my understanding is he was so football, he had his dog and he had football.
Yes.
And that was about it.
But, yeah. I think Julian, I don't think he gets enough credit for being that preparatory guy also, mm-hmm. though. I think he really gets into the actual science of the game, for want of another term, and the study that you have to put in, the preparation. And so we'll see where that carries them. You know, that game at Texas now looms so large in all kinds of ways, but, boy, can they set the tone if they can go down there and take care of business. By the way, you know, Texas has 47 new players.
Yeah.
Ohio State has 51.
Apparently, they had to cut players. Well, not cut players, but they had cap casualties, I believe, is how.
Son, you might be better if you go right down the road here to Texas State.
Yeah.
They're in, where is that? What's that? Marcus, not Marcus, San Marcos.
You would know better than I would.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what I mean? At least they're openly saying things like that now. We cut this guy. Or we let this guy.
Yeah.
We let this guy know he wasn't going to get what he got last year from the revenue sharing aspect of things, and you might get more playing time or playing time. Period. If you go elsewhere, that's going on everywhere now. I mean, when you what Arkansas? How many new players have they got?
A lot.
Some like 70 or 80.
Yeah.
Just like Colorado a couple of years ago when Deion took over. So it's alive and well. Players getting cut, et cetera, from major college football teams. And by the way, I enjoy being on here with you. I don't know if it shows.
Same.
Or not. Yeah. We'll be back in a moment. We're going to continue this conversation here on 97.1 The Fan, The Buckeye Show.
Experience the ultimate gridiron experience at the Ohio State Football Training Camp presented by Safelite and Bob's Discount Furniture, happening at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center August 6th through August 8th. Don't miss your chance to get the first look at your Ohio State football team. Bring your friends and family and dive into the excitement with inflatables, giveaways, and more. Tickets are limited, so get yours today to ensure you don't miss out on the fun. Visit Ticketmaster.com/Ohio State Buckeyes to purchase your tickets today.
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Retirement from football hits everyone differently. For Devere Posey and Dane Sanzenbacher, it means sitting around watching sports clips on the internet and arguing about them. Search for Didn't Catch That on YouTube and subscribe.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Introducing Optimized IT, the managed services division of Modern Office Methods. With our cutting-edge managed IT services, we bring proven management strategies to the table to support your current IT team. That's not all. Our experienced team provides insight on how to maximize efficiency, helping you achieve your goals faster. Concerned about security? Our backup solutions help guarantee your data is protected around the clock, giving you peace of mind. Start at OptimizedIT.net for your free IT assessment. Stay ahead, stay secure, and stay optimized.
Cancer. For some, it's one of life's fiercest foes, but not at the James. While cancer hides, we hunt as a team like no other, giving patients access to the most advanced treatment options and sparking new hope. So if you just heard the words, you have cancer, you should know this. We heard them too. And there's no better team in the nation to create a cancer-free world. The James at Ohio State.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. All Buckeyes, all the time. You are listening to The Buckeye Show.
And thanks for listening. I'm Tim May. That's Patrick Murphy. Standing to my right, your left. Stage right. But, Patrick, we said a while ago, we wanted to talk about maybe who our personal top five teams are going into the season,
mm-hmm.
and not how they're going to stack up at the end of the season. So let's make sure we've delineated our criteria before you put your ballot in the box. You might want to pull it back out and check to make sure you did what I said. But the bottom line is, if you're voting in the Associated Press poll or any other poll going in to this season before training camp begins for these football teams, who would be your number one team?
It's tough to be on the Buckeye Show and not say the Buckeyes.
I know.
I think
I think it'd be tough to be on any show in America and not say Ohio State.
I agree, but we talked about the SEC a little bit ago. I think with what they've got coming back on offense, you know, we talked about the offensive line last segment. We talked about Julian Sain last segment, arguably the best player in college football, and Jeremiah Smith. Yeah, they need to figure out a couple more receivers, which is a weird spot for Ohio State to be in, given the last few years and the loaded group of receivers, but that's okay. I think
Is it figuring out a couple more receivers, or is it figuring out how you're going to play those guys?
Probably a little of both. Okay. Like, I mean, I think we know
how you're going to play them.
Yeah, I think we know, you know, who's going to be that top four. It's just a matter of, you know, can they live up to this? You know, Kyle Parker, Devin McEwen, you know, whether you want to throw in some of the young guys, like, can they live up to the standard?
I'm definitely throwing in a couple of young guys.
Yeah, I think they'll be in the mix. But then on the defensive side, look, I saw what Matt Patricia did last year, replacing eight starters.
Yes.
So the fact that he has to replace eight starters again, and they're different, right? Like, yes, it was three top 11 picks in the NFL
different
draft.
Different dynamic, too. I mean, about who's replacing them.
Right. But I'm going to put my trust in Matt Patricia to have this defense playing pretty good football. So to me, both sides of the ball, I think the Buckeyes, and look, everyone has some questions. I don't think that's abnormal. We'll probably have them for everybody. But I would say the Buckeyes should go into season number one.
Okay, I am in agreement with you, so I'll go ahead and give my number two. My number two going into the season, because I think this team has improved itself in the last 7 months, and also has his quarterback back, Dante Moore. By the way, I'm not as big on him as a lot of people are, and I don't know why. I just, the few times I saw him play last year, I saw some things I didn't necessarily think he was the elite of the elite, if you follow my drift.
Sure.
But it is a big, big moment when you get your starting quarterback back for a second year, like Ohio State's getting with Julian Sain. I mean,
yeah.
Wow. So I'm going with Oregon as my number two team, just based on who they've got back, how they've improved themselves, and they have a schedule where they can definitely make their case. I think you agree with that. But but the bottom line is I'm going with Oregon, number two. Who you got number two?
I was debating here between a few teams, obviously, but
of course,
I ended up with Georgia at two. You said just a few minutes ago,
this is going into the year, not how they're going to finish.
Yeah. Like, I think, look, this Georgia roster's loaded every year.
Because
right?
We know perennially now the SEC doesn't even play for the national championship.
Yeah. but I think that it's a loaded group. You know, they'll be tested in the SEC, despite what we said earlier, that they're still good teams in the SEC.
Absolutely.
So that's a team that I think, and you know, obviously the other teams I will mention in a minute, but that's a team I think, you know, could potentially be playing for the national championship when it's all said and done, and they have the talent, I think, to be right there alongside Ohio State.
Who's your number three, since I went first on the number two?
Texas.
That's funny. I've got Texas there, too.
All right. Well, we're going to see them firsthand here in month and some change.
Dude, just on paper, Texas is loaded.
Yeah, and like we said,
they also have their quarterback back.
They do have their quarterback back.
I'm not sure. That's the same as saying Oregon and Ohio State have their quarterbacks back.
Yeah. Well, and
obviously, Georgia has his quarterback back, Gunnar Stockton.
Yep. Gunnar Stockton. Arch Manning has some questions to answer, for sure, right? Like, he got better as the season went on, but we saw him look pretty pedestrian here in Columbus. That game, and you mentioned it earlier, like, Texas probably wants some revenge, I would imagine, for the game in Columbus.
Of course.
So that's going to...
In the game the year before that?
Well, yes. but, like, a lot of those guys played in the game in the shoe. I think there's fewer of them that played in both games.
Well, like I pointed out, they got 47 new players.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so... And that coaching staff led by Sark, you know, they know that if they win that game this year, that's going to put them in. Yeah, right. That's going to basically put them in. So I think it's a talented, really talented team. I guess I have two SEC teams in the top three, which I didn't mean to do. Yes. I still don't think of Texas as an SEC team, just like it's still hard for me to think of Oregon as a Big Ten team. But those rosters are two of the best in the country.
See, if you grew up when I grew up in East Texas, I mean, in Texas was the, the bell cow for the Southwest Conference, you know, and then the Big 12 came along, but I had already moved well from there before blasphemy took over. Speaking of teams moving to greener pastures, thinking so. But the bottom line is I have also have Texas in that spot. I've got Georgia number four.
Okay.
Something's got to give between Texas and Georgia. I think, you know, those are two elite college football teams going into this season, in my opinion. And I think Georgia is smarting, pardon the expression, from after two straight national championships really not being a factor when it came to the national championship game for three straight years. I know those people down there are champing at the bit. So I'm going with Georgia as my number four. Who you got?
I went Oregon for similar reasons you said earlier. The quarterback back, they've got receiver talent. Their running game should be very good. That defense, I think, is pretty solid.
Yeah.
And then, looking at their schedule, they've got to come to Columbus. But like you said, I think there are opportunities there for them to showcase themselves.
Yeah. Who you got number five?
Indiana.
So do I.
I might be too
great,
low.
Great minds think alike. I don't know how that figures in with what we're thinking alike.
Yeah, I might be too low. Like, I still haven't bought it completely yet. I know
I'm not sure Josh Hoover is Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah, well, and we said
he might be better.
Yeah, we said last year.
If he is, look out.
Right. And look, I'm a big Kurt Cignetti believer. I just think now you're the champs. We saw this with Ohio State last year. It's tough to be the defending champions. I know Ohio State won other games in the regular season.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it was easy to do it, and they couldn't repeat. So, but I still think Indiana's going to be really good.
Real quick before we break, you know who Phil Steele had as a surprise, I think, on my show, my Tim May show, surprise number four, I think, or five, was Alabama. Because, their offensive line is better. Last year, their offensive line was not very good.
Right.
I think he agrees with me. They may have an upgrade at quarterback compared to last year, Ty Simpson, which I still don't understand the L.A. Rams doing what they did. But
we'll see.
That is the late, great Earl Bruce said, that's water under the dam. But the bottom line is, there are some other teams we could talk about. Maybe we'll come back and talk about some of that stuff later here on The Fan. But, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you after the top of the hour here on The Buckeye Show, 97.1 The Fan.
Teams of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium Tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
Life is more fun with a pal. So is pizza. So check out Donato's $5 Pizza Pals menu. Order any large pizza and add your choice of a sub, salad, wings, dessert, and more for just $5 each. Order your favorite $5 Pizza Pals from Donatos.com today. More toppings, more flavor, more fun. Donatos, gotta love more.
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams. The agile, get it done teams. The achieve more together teams. And the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Learn more about Ohio State at osu.edu/impact.
Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, getting ahead in this world is not as complicated as it might seem. Having the early guidance and counsel of your community banker, one who knows you and your family's story, can make a great deal of difference. Relationships matter. Bank on community banking. I'm Scott McComb. Coming over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Rare banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good evening, I'm Nate Butterball, their sports update. Earlier today, prior to their arbitration hearing, the Columbus Blue Jackets announced forward Cole Sillinger re-signed with the team for a reported three-year, $13.875 million deal. This will keep him in Columbus through the 2028-2029 season. LeBron James has made his final NBA decision, announcing he signed a two-year, $8 million deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. The Cleveland Guardians are in Tampa Bay tonight to open a three-game series. They sit a game and a half back in the AL Central. Joe Gentile takes the mound for Cleveland against Shane McClanahan. First pitch is at 7:10. The Cincinnati Reds are in St. Louis to open a series with the Cardinals. Rhett Lauder is set to battle the Cardinals' Dustin May. First pitch is at 8:15. Catchy action right here on The Fan. And in NFL news, multiple reports have learned CBS NFL analyst and former Dallas Cowboy quarterback Tony Romo has been arrested on suspicion of operating a vehicle while under the influence in Milwaukee. Bringing sports news to Evans of The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
It's time for the College Football Pulse on the Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
All right, it is time for the College Football Pulse here on the Buckeye Show. Let's get started with the subject you may know so much about, video games. ESPN has simulated the season in this year's College Football 27. They ran 26 seasons through the simulation. Would you care to guess what college football team made the playoffs the most times?
The Ohio State Buckeyes is what would be my guess. It would be the Ohio State Buckeyes and or the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Pat, you got a guess?
I was going to go Ohio State, but to be different, I will say Oregon.
The Miami Hurricanes made it 24 out of 26 times. The Buckeyes were second at 21, USC 19, BYU, Notre Dame, and SMU with 16, and then Oklahoma, Ole Miss, and Texas Tech all had 14. Did you notice a few teams that weren't up there?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Georgia, in their simulations, made it three times.
Wow.
Texas made it three times.
So much for our ranking.
LSU made it three times, and Bama only made it four.
My comment is, that's sort of an illegitimate simulation is the way I look at it. What do you think, Pat?
I haven't played much of the new college football video game, but when they had it out before, often you go through the season, and it's like, how the heck did some of these teams make it? You know, it gets...
Right.
It gets a little wonky, I think, right. is when you go through in the computer. You know, there'd be teams in the top 25 all of a sudden by the end of the year that's like, where did they come from?
So when Texas Tech makes it more times than Georgia or Alabama, man, I want to get Greg Sankey on the phone.
In case you're curious how Ohio State finished, OSU won the Big Ten title 15 times out of 26. They were a top three seed 13 out of their 21 appearances. They had 9 title game appearances and had the most national championships with 6.
There you go. So I was right to begin with.
Our friends at CBS Sports, they have rated the top 5 wide receiver and tight end units in college football. Number 5, Ohio State. Number 4, Tennessee. Number 3, Texas. Number 2, Miami. And number 1, Oregon. What do we feel about those rankings?
Number 1. Oregon has a problem keeping their wide receivers healthy.
They do.
On a consistent basis over a season. So I really don't think much about that, because I think whenever you've got the best wide receiver in the country on your team, net you a bunch of points. Am I right about that, Patrick?
That would make sense.
And then you've got a guy who a lot of people think could be the second coming of him, Chris Henry Jr., who's only going to get better as the year goes on, along with Brock Boyd, who I've really got my eye on. And then Mr. Ennis. I mean, and we haven't even named all of them. I find that kind of hard to swallow a little bit. And then the Tennessee thing also, there's a lot of stuff on paper that doesn't always pan out.
No. And that's why these are preseason lists.
You know why? Because it gets us talking about them.
Yeah. I'm looking at... I wanted to look up Tennessee's receiver room because I'm not overly familiar. Which is, to me, a sign that they shouldn't be that high. Like, if I can't immediately start to name some of the guys in your room, and maybe this is ignorance on my part, and if so...
That could be it also.
I'll take it on the chin, but I think... That's the one that stood out to me as being odd. That and Ohio State being low. Though, as we talked about earlier,
look at their running back room in 2027.
Yeah. The Ohio State wide receiver room doesn't have the like returning or hyped talent outside of Jeremiah that it has. But I think we both agree. I think they should surprise people with what they
get. Well, I know, but some of the guys Ohio State's got are can't miss, according to the recruiting experts and things like that, like Chris Henry Jr.
Right.
We saw him finally blossom in the spring game. These rankings are always very curious to me because, like I said, when you've got the reigning best wide receiver in the country on your team, that should make you at least third.
Well, he technically wasn't the reigning because he didn't win the Biletnikoff.
Well, yeah, but that guy's gone to the NFL.
He is.
And this is not college football. This is basketball-related news, but the very anticipated Duke-Michigan game that was in basketball that was supposed to take place originally December 21st at Madison Square Garden is now completely off. A whole lot of rights issues forced them to move the game out of MSG down into Florida, of all places.
They were going to play at the Marlins.
They were going to play at the Marlins Stadium. And now the rights issue, I guess, have gotten so complicated. They have canceled the game completely. It is now just going to be a game between Duke and Texas Tech at Madison Square Garden.
My first reaction to that was, as I told Patrick, somebody needs to read the fine print before they start printing the tickets. And the fine print is not allowing this for whatever reason. Number two, my take on it is, I would like to have seen that game at the end of the year last year.
Right. Yeah.
Look, with everybody being healthy.
Yes. I think it's unfortunate because I think that would have been a matchup people would have tuned in. I think Michigan's putting together another really good roster, and Duke is Duke.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you think they would have, before they hype this all up and announces a game, gotten this all sorted, or...
We're putting on a show.
Don't ever announce it because you can't figure this all out. So this is mismanagement by whoever tried to set this up.
Amen. I wonder if both schools will get some reparations though for agreeing to it. You know, like a signing bonus.
I don't know how
a non-refundable signing bonus. You hope it does. By the way, what do you think about Dusty May? How's he going to do in the National Basketball Association?
I think Dusty May has had his eye on the NBA for quite some time.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be solid. Taking over Dallas, you've got a young team, so it may take some time, but he's worked with college kids and whatnot.
Isn't it crazy though that it's a total different coaching dynamic.
It's getting closer.
A little bit, but it is crazy how a guy, when you're large and in charge of a college basketball program and you go to the NBA and you're not large and in charge, no matter how it's set up for you, why you would want that. I mean, I accept that you want to go to the NBA, but see, I've never looked at the NBA. I've looked at the NBA as being a total different exercise from college basketball, whereas the NFL, I don't see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, a head coach in the NFL has different responsibilities, doesn't have to work 24/7, 365 like college football coaches do now, but it's still coaching football, and it's still got to have team camaraderie, and you got to have good players and all that kind of stuff. But the NBA, if you don't have a certain couple of players on your team, no matter how good a coach you are, no matter what a brainiac, no matter what you draw up during timeouts, you've got problems. And I just don't understand a coach wanting to immerse himself into that.
Yeah, I mean, how often do we talk coaches in the NBA?
Not very often.
Eric Spoelstra is a guy whose name always gets brought up, but you're talking stars, to your point.
Yes.
Where's LeBron playing?
Yeah.
Where's, insert name here, depending on your era. And yeah, I think you're right. Like, the coaches only have so much they can do. That's not to say they're not important, but it just, you're right, it certainly decreases.
How many times have we said teams have won championships in spite of their coach?
Yeah, absolutely.
Many times, I think, is the answer.
Yeah, I would
was that
say
the correct answer?
I would say the majority of the time, fan bases would argue that. Like, even this past year with the Knicks, Mike Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, if your name's not like Phil Jackson or Greg Popovich or something, like, you pretty much are just like another guy.
That's what I wanted to bring up. The Spurs coach, I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
But, man, there were times in timeouts late in games.
Mitch
there,
Johnson.
Yeah. Where he looked like deer in the headlights. I mean, he had a wad of plays or something in one hand, and he didn't know what was going on. I mean, it was really, and it was almost like he was thinking, I can't do anything about this.
The Cavs coach just watching a 25-point lead evaporate without calling a timeout.
J.B. Bickerstaff, yeah.
There you go. So
and Mitch Johnson's only 39.
I know.
And he's the head coach of the Spurs.
Yeah, he looked like he was 29 there.
Now, that's not to say that young coaches can't work. We've seen it in other sports, including the Rams, who you brought up earlier, and Sean McVay.
Yeah.
In fact, I would say the NFL has leaned into sort of a youth movement in coaches and kind of analytics and all that.
Because what's a young coach going to do? He's probably going to bring a few young guys with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the biggest thing in the world was you get in the National Football League as an assistant coach and you make it for a couple of years, baby, you're on the merry-go-round.
Yeah.
You know, you may not be on the same horse from one year to the next, but you're on the merry-go-round. You just keep getting recycled. But that has to happen in any sport, obviously. But that's what I'm just saying. I've never equated NBA head coaches, college head coaches going to the NBA is the same as a college head coach going to the NFL, even though we've seen very few college head coaches go to the NFL and succeed. So it is what it is. You know, we're going to come back, speaking of basketball, we're going to come back and talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes going into the season. They're going off on that little exhibition trip next week. But I am very curious in a good way about this basketball team that Jake Diehler and his new staff, have put together. So when we get back here, we're going to talk about that, ladies and gentlemen, on 97.1 The Fan, The Buckeye Show.
Relax and let Kroger Pickup handle your grocery shopping this week. We start with only the freshest items, then choose your favorites, carefully pack everything up, and load it right into your trunk so you can feel confident it's what you ordered. Fresh groceries your way with Kroger Pickup and Delivery. And right now, you can save $20 on your first pickup or delivery order. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Attention Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000-plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at town-properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeyes sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
AgPro has been family-owned and operated for over 64 years. We take pride in developing long-lasting relationships and offering first-class customer service. Need a new tractor, parts for your used equipment, or reliable service? AgPro has you covered. AgPro is here to serve you and your operation as your hometown dealer. Visit us today at any of our AgPro locations or go online to agproco.com to get started with your AgPro experience.
Buckeye Replay this summer takes you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Ohio State football history.
We go 85 yards through the heart of the South, Ohio State versus Alabama in the Sugar Bowl.
Hear Buckeye Replay this Saturday at 1 p.m. on The Fan.
For over 30 years, Schumacher Homes has been building affordable custom homes throughout the Buckeye State. Experience true customization on your land, your way, without any compromises. Come visit any of our 9 Ohio model home and design studio locations to see the latest in design trends and learn about our award-winning building process, or start online at SchumacherHomes.com. You'll be surprised how affordable a custom home will be. Schumacher Homes, proud home building sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
I love the neighborhood where I grew up, but it was tough.
Ohio State National Championship quarterback and former CareSource kid, Cardale Jones.
Football helped me find my direction, but I also needed the right support system. Seeing that CareSource heart around town, I just knew they had my back. That's the kind of difference they still make in neighborhoods like mine. This is so much more than health insurance. CareSource, today and always, trusted. Visit CareSource.com.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Probably the mostly cloudy skies are in the forecast here for tonight as we see temperatures cooling down into the lower 60s. And then on your Saturday, we're tracking more sunshine and highs back into the mid-80s here for the afternoon. We'll see more sunshine on Sunday with highs into the upper 80s for the afternoon, but also looking ahead to some showers and storms on our forecast here for Monday and Tuesday with highs into the upper 80s to lower 90s. That's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
The best damn radio show in the land. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
And you got that right, especially tonight. I'm Tim May along with Patrick Murphy. Patrick Crew Murphy. Crew! Game ball. Quick, what movie?
I don't know that one.
Longest Yard. Those are just excerpts of dialogue near the end of it. Crew! But I digress. Bottom line is, we came back. We're going to talk about a little bit of Ohio State basketball right now, only because I'm very intrigued. That's the word I was looking for a while ago. It didn't quite get into my 72-year-old mind as quickly as I would like for it to. By the way, man, I was hitting a golf ball off the tee really good. We'll talk to Dylan Davis about that. I just couldn't do anything after that today up at Oak Haven. But I digress. I want to talk about Ohio State basketball with you because I'm intrigued by this, by the parts that they've got in the box. Now, can they put the jigsaw puzzle together in the, you know, this trip they're taking next week to where, is it Spain? No, where are they?
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. They speak Spanish in Puerto Rico.
They do speak Spanish.
So there you go.
I see how you got there.
I was close. Halfway
just
to Spain.
Just not geographically.
Have you ever been to Spain? No, but I've been to Puerto Rico.
I'm not sure those are the words. But
bottom line is, I think you agree with me. You've seen these guys up close and personal. I really like the way this roster is looking. Now will they play together the way Jake Diebler envisions it? And, you know, I remember even asking Holtman like this like 5 or 7 years ago at some press conference I happened to be in with him. It's just like you have a vision for where the team's going to be, but you know at the beginning of the season that may not be the team yet. I mean, that may not be what you're playing in January, what you're showing in, August. But what is your just take on the roster they put together? And just give me a couple, three names, not everybody, that jumps out to you that can make a big difference compared to this time a year ago.
Yeah, I think this is probably, and this is a small sample size, but as good of a roster as Jake Diebler has had, and I think it will be able to play at a level that the previous ones have not, or play similar to the way he wants to play.
Yeah.
He wants the team to get up and down. He wants to shoot. You know, he wants to press teams defensively, like sort of the modern basketball. I think of like Golden State when they were really good, clearly not that level, but like that style of play.
The more points you score, the more points the other team has to score.
Yeah, exactly. And so
that's a little bit of philosophy there.
As good as Bruce Thornton was these last 4 years, he's a guy who likes to slow it down. And
right.
So you kind of had to play that way.
Right.
So I think you and I were talking during the break, Justin Pippen, the Cal transfer who began his career at Michigan, obviously the son of Scottie Pippen and brother of Scottie Pippen, actually.
Yeah.
Though, I don't know if you know this, they spell Scottie differently.
Well, there you go. You got to have some delineation.
Yeah. I mean, junior's not enough. You just have to.
Yeah.
But I like what we've seen from him.
Well, he's probably Scott, and they call him Scotty.
Yes.
See what I'm saying?
Well, one goes IE and one goes Y.
I know, but my point is then you can have the delineation on how you add the little nickname.
So Justin Pippen, I think, is somebody to get excited about. I think him and John Mobley are going to share, like, they can both play the point, they both can play the two guard. I don't think it's going to be too much delineation between the two.
Let me jump in here real quick with this question. Does John Mobley look happy with the parts that he is surrounded with now?
This is a fired up kid. I think he's very excited to be back. I think going and hearing from NBA people, like positive feedback, but also where you need to improve has been really helpful. And he has, I mean, he is getting on guys in practice. He's yelling, swearing. At times, like, you're seeing a side of him, and maybe it is because we're watching some more summer practice than we have in the past, but just the emotion that he is showing and the kind of passion on the court. You see it sometimes in games, but I also think he was a little bit in Bruce Thornton's shadow, and now he can step out. This is his team.
See, that is always a curious thing. And watching that team last year, you would see this occasionally. You kind of go, well, wait a minute, no. I mean, even a player's thinking, well, wait a minute, no, this is Bruce's team.
Yeah.
This is Bruce's moment. This is Bruce's... Get the ball to Bruce.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you end up with that stupid shot at the end of the season.
Right. When you have a player like Bruce Thornton, who becomes your all-time leading scorer, was a four-time, like, that happens, right?
Yeah.
I think a more veteran coach, and this is not a knock on Jake Diebler, it just is what it is, like, maybe you massage that situation a little bit differently, but you're still in basketball, stars win. We were talking about that a minute ago.
So, ever since the movie Hoosiers.
Yes, that was the one that did it.
I'll make it.
Yeah, so I really like what we've seen from Justin Pippen. Not that he's a newcomer, but Amari Bynum in year two, I think, is going to take a big leap. You and I were talking before the show about the way he finished the season.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and talking to Jake Diebler and some of the rest of the staff, like, this is a guy they think at the end of the year could be an NBA guy.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they hope he has a good season, maybe not that good of a season, just so you get him back. But this, you know, if he can develop some more outside game, I think he's going to be really interesting. And, you know, we already saw what he can do on the inside. And again, he's kind of moving up the pecking order a spot because,
yes,
you know, year two and no Bruce Thornton.
I like the zeal with which he plays the game. When he really gets it going, he is a force, like as good as almost anybody else in college basketball, in my opinion. That's my own honest opinion.
Yeah, and I think, again, he fits with sort of that running style that, you know,
yes,
he's going to get up in court. He's going to attack the basket and, you know, make you defend the rim. And again, if he can develop a little bit more of an outside shot.
I think it'd be fun to watch him and Jeremiah Smith go for a rebound together or go for a pass together.
Those two would have some battles.
Oh my goodness. That would be fun.
And then I don't think you can talk about this team, and I don't want to overhype a freshman, but Anthony Thompson is the highest rated recruit they've signed since Jared Sullinger.
Yeah.
And that says something.
Enough said.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, and look, there are certainly moments in practice, and it's, remember, this is summer, but this isn't even preseason, where he looks like a freshman, but there are also moments when you see that shot go up and it's like, oh, he just made a play, or when he attacks the basket, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying he's day one going to be the best player on the court, like some one and done type guys, but this kid's got something here, and now you've added another piece. Plus, I think other recruits in the future, look, especially if he has a good season, will look at that and be like, oh, this program, not only can they recruit these guys, but they develop them and send them to the NBA. Yeah,
and watching him shoot in practice, kind of like probably like watching Wayne Gretzky in practice, shooting from the point and stuff. I mean, it's like he could shoot with his eyes closed occasionally because he's clearly shot millions of shots.
It's funny you bring that up. So William Buford is now on the staff. And obviously we all know what William Buford's Buckeye career was like.
Yeah, resume.
He was after practice, we're standing there doing interviews, and you know, you're kind of in the corner of the gym, and he finished working with one of the players, and then he starts taking shots with the one of the managers, just sticking up the hand, and they go over and over again, and I mean, he was on fire, and it's just like reminder of how good, I know he didn't go and have a great pro career, but just reminder of how good William Buford was. There was also a play where I forget which guard it was, like dribbles into the paint and then like sort of pump fake, didn't shoot a mid-range and passes the ball. It gets knocked out of bounds, whatever. And Buford puts his hands up, and I looked at Adam Jardy and was like, that's his shot, right? Like, yes, he was a pull-up master,
yeah,
right inside.
Touch.
But kids don't do that anymore. Like, it's all about paint or three-pointers, right?
Right.
So I'll be interested to see his impact. But you and I were talking right before.
Yeah.
The centers, they've got a group. I don't know if they have a superstar in there, but with Josh Adjiwana, I should know how to say that.
It's easier for you to say. Go ahead.
Yeah. And Njegovin coming back, Ivan Njegovin.
Yeah.
Jelovic. That right there, I think, is a group of three that you can throw in. They can do some different things, but they're all going to pound in the paint.
Quality,
and then you've
time.
Got Vukosarovic, the freshman, who is going to be he's going to need some time. But having three big, you know, 7 foot essentially big men, they haven't had that.
No. And that's what they've been missing, man. I mean, you know, you see Michigan State every year with those 6'10", 6'9", 6'10", 6'11" guys that Izzo sends in to just beat on you.
Yeah, they've got two guys taller than 7 feet and another guy that's listed 6'11". Yeah.
But what stood out to me, too, when we were having our conversation, we should tape that and play it also.
Right.
But, I mean, like you're talking about, and you can see this in the videos you see from practice and stuff, this looks like a physically more intimidating team from the standpoint of just not just height but size.
I mean a Big Ten team.
Yeah
and I think that'll be a huge advantage, especially in conference. And they also, you talked about Jake Diebler's staff looking a little bit different.
Yeah,
Mike Wells, who's the newest of the assistant coaches, he's a guy who's coached in the NBA. He's coached teams to the NBA championship. He was just overseas, or Australia, I think it was what it was.
I think it was,
a championship there with the Adelaide 36ers, I believe was
Adelaide
it.
Or Adelaide.
Yeah, something like along those lines. But that's a guy I'm really interested in what he brings to this staff because he is, and Jake Diebler's talked about this, like he wasn't a, oh, I know this guy type of hire. Let's bring in someone I've worked with or my buddy worked
somebody
with him.
Somebody comfortable.
Right. This was a, let's go out and find somebody who brings something different to the program. And
see, that's why I like what Ryan Day has done with his last two coordinator hires. Go out and hire a guy who's basically considered one of the great defensive coordinators in the NFL.
Yeah.
Go out and hire a guy who's been a head coach and also a head coach. Go out and hire a guy who's been a head coach an offensive coordinator in Arthur Smith. And because you want that infusion of brain power, not just a yes man. And that's what, you know, a young coach like Jake Diebler has to like. The changes he's made in his staff, to me, show as much about his maturing as the players he's brought in.
Yeah.
But, boy, when you put those two together and you have lively discussions about how to play people, I didn't want you to name everybody, but I do want to, you know, L.J. Smith is another guy I've got my eye on, incoming freshman. But real quickly, how would you handle this trip to Puerto Rico in terms of how you play guys? I mean, you've got to go in, obviously, with a five to start off with. Mm-hmm. But how would you, if you were large and in charge, how would you handle the playing time, et cetera? And in maybe it's better a question for Jake Diebler. What do you want to see from guys, but you want to give them the opportunity to show it to you? You know what I mean? In
right.
competition. How would you handle that?
Yeah, I think from a playing time perspective, I would want to see as many different combinations as possible as you can get in the two games.
But doesn't there have to be a core?
There
does. Maybe three guys playing and then throwing two guys in with those.
Yeah, just mixing and, you know, maybe these are lineups you're never going to end up using.
Right.
But maybe you put them out there and it's like, oh.
Do they enhance those three?
Yeah, because sometimes guys are just gamers, right?
Yeah.
And like maybe something doesn't show up in practice. And so this is why it's a cool opportunity to get to do this as opposed to just spending all summer banging against each other. Like, now you're playing real opponents, and one of the things I think is good that they're doing is they're not going to scout this team, you know, whatever these...
Yes.
I think they're going to be kind of teams that are put together.
Scrimmaging.
Yeah, so these guys aren't going to know, like, well, this guy's, you know, I don't have to cover him because he can't shoot a three, like,
yeah.
or things like that, and I like that. I think that adversity of trying to figure things out, the five of you on the court, when it matters, because it is a game, but it doesn't matter in terms of the season... I think that's an advantage, and then you still have three more exhibition games down the line to then take that and work on it later.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like middle in February, you know, you move this guy over three boards and he's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? On the floor,
mm-hmm.
he's not used to shooting from that spot, et cetera. It is fun to just kind of watch not hully gully, because there will definitely be organization and stuff. But that's the curious thing is the next month and a half, or excuse me. In November, the month and a half leading up to January is going to be key for this team to find out what it's really all about and stuff. I think he'll have good chemistry because, like you said, the young Pippen, he understands playing defense is what's going to get him places.
Right.
Get him on the floor, and then maybe he can score. I mean,
look at his dad.
I know.
The number of, I think it was eight all defensive teams.
One of the more unselfish players of all time when you think about who he's playing with.
Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, that bleeds into his son, you know, his older, the other Scotty.
Yeah.
Like, that's how he got to the league, was playing defense, working hard, making those hustle plays. And I think Justin Pippen does that. I think he'll add more, too. I think he can score and stuff, but I think he also recognizes, let me get the ball to Junie Mobley. Let me get the ball to Amara Bynum. Let me get the ball to Anthony Thompson.
Yeah.
Let these guys make plays. That makes it easier on me.
That's like, get the ball to Amari Bynum, like to Jeremiah Smith, get him on that drag route and see if anybody will step in front of him and tackle him.
Right.
Like at Washington, that was the seminal play of that game just before halftime when he scored that touchdown. Amari Bynum can be that kind of terror, I think, on the basketball court. We're going to come back. We're going to ask Dylan Davis what he thinks, because he's been out there watching some of these practices with Ohio State basketball. When we return here, ladies and gentlemen, on the Buckeye Show on 97.1 The Fan.
Already prepping for next week's matchup? Get your best rest yet with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's and choose from PillowSoft plush dual feel and extra firm mattresses with Bob-O-Pedic memory foam that will have you dreaming of game day in no time. So shop in-store or online to score the latest in affordable luxury mattresses without the luxury price tag. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Inside the body, cancer divides, but inside the James, we unite. With nearly 300 cancer specialists, each focused on a single type of cancer, and over 1,500 researchers relentlessly pursuing new discoveries and sparking new hope. So if you just heard the words, you have cancer, you should know this. We heard them too. And there's no better team in the nation to create a cancer-free world. The James at Ohio State.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
If you still have a weird rash from jumping in Mirror Lake, we can be friends. This is The Buckeye Show.
Oh my goodness, The Buckeye Show. I'm Tim May. That's Patrick Murphy over there, Patrick Crew Murphy. Thanks for joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We've enjoyed talking to you about all kinds of nonsense. We're going to bring in Dylan Davis now from DelGazette.com, the Delaware Gazette. He's been in some of those Ohio State basketball practices we were talking about. He also covers Ohio State football. He almost covers everything. He almost covered the spread in our golfing match today. If he could have added about one or two more octane to his putting stroke, he might have shot an all-timer. But Dylan Davis, welcome to the Buckeye Show again, my friend.
Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure to join you. Two of my favorites, and always happy to talk sports with you guys.
Hey, real quick, I don't know if you heard us talking about the Ohio State basketball team a minute ago. You and I have talked about it on my podcast and elsewhere. Even today, we talked a little bit about it. But I just put the question to Patrick. How would you handle next week with them heading to Puerto Rico for a little bit of a preschool year work with some other teams? How would you handle that? Because I think you agree with me and Patrick, there are a lot of really good pieces that Jake Diebler and his staff have put together on this roster.
I think Jake has to be really excited about this opportunity, because one of the things we continue to hear from him is just the versatility of this team and how many different options they have and the depth that they have. So for him to have this opportunity to start putting those different combinations on the floor and see what works, what he likes, you know, and the different styles that they can play, I think he's going to be really excited to be able to do that for the first time this year. And certainly that's how I would approach it, to get as many guys, as many minutes as possible, put different guys out there. Maybe things that maybe you don't even think would work, but hey, let's just see how it does work, because again, they have so many options and so many different types of players that they're going to need to start seeing how that works against other competition.
Hey, real quick, as you observed this team a few times this summer, do they look like an unselfish group? How would you describe them? Because, you know, usually most big-time basketball players coming, especially out of high school, they're used to having the ball in their hands at key moments. You know, that's why they got recruited in the first place. But does it look like it could be an unselfish group? And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Without question, I think in a different way, I think one of the biggest signs that it's going to be an unselfish group is when you watch the way that Junie Mobley is defending in practices and how hard he's going on the defensive end and how bought in he is defensively. You know, that's a guy who's obviously as good a scorer as anybody in the country. He comes back, he tested the NBA waters and, you know, and liked what he heard, but needed to get better. And I'm guessing one of those things that he needed to get better on was being a better defender. And he's so bought in defensively in the practices that we've watched. And that just goes to show you, you know, if Junie Mobley, you know, arguably your best player, certainly your best shooter, is that bought in defensively, that's gonna catch on with the rest of the team as well. And again, offensively as well, he's going to have to be unselfish, because he's going to get a lot of attention, and there's plenty of other guys who can score on that team. So yeah, I think without a doubt that it's an unselfish team, and it's still early. Obviously, they're still building that chemistry and what they want to be as a team, but I don't think there's any question that it's going to be an unselfish team.
Well, I just assumed you and Tim were going to talk about your guys golfing today the whole time.
I'm telling you, you give this man a foot and a half of extra putts on like six putts, but a foot and a half total, he might have shot personal best.
Yeah, I left a 75 out there. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, well, there's always next time. Talking about the Buckeye basketball team, excuse me. What have you liked from the two star freshmen, we'll say, and Anthony Thompson and LJ Smith, the two that are getting most of the headlines, and where do you think they could kind of fit into this year?
I think, you know, we'll start with Anthony Thompson. Obviously, he's, you know, he's the true headline, because nobody was really anticipating LJ Smith being here on this team this year. But for Anthony Thompson, we got a chance to talk to him, you know, for the first time as well. And like everything he does is just so smooth and laid back. Like he just doesn't get sped up at all. And watching him certainly on the floor, he has such a high release on his shot as well. And he doesn't get sped up. So I think that all lends itself to him catching on early and finding his footing early. Nobody would be surprised if it took him into January to really take off. But I don't think it's going to take as long as, you know, it would be acceptable or understandable for it too, because I think he's just so calm and laid back, and his personality is just that. Like I think he's going to be ready to make an impact very quickly. LJ is, you know, it's a little bit harder to read just because he's still trying to find his footing. He obviously got there a lot later than Anthony Thompson did. But I think LJ Smith, there's one thing about it, he's going to be able to shoot the basketball. So you can't have enough shooting off the bench and just adds another piece to that depth that the Teebler talks about. Like, they're going to have another quality shooter off the bench in LJ Smith that they can rely on probably, you know, in pretty short order as well, because if you can shoot it, you can shoot it. And I don't think they're going to ask him to do a ton. He'll, you know, have some spot minutes there where he just needs to come in and be a source of, you know, scoring off the bench. And I think he can absolutely do that. So obviously, you know, I don't need to tell anybody that, you know, they're really excited about those two kids, and for good reason.
Yeah, you know, I was privileged to get to cover North Carolina playing Kentucky at the Meadowlands. It was the Meadowlands Coliseum next to the Meadowlands, you know, where the Giants play, the old stadium. And they played in a December special game because I was there to cover the cover an NFL playoff game the next day over at Shea Stadium. But I got to cover that game, and that's when Michael Jordan initially really just stepped forward as a big time player in college. You know, he was a freshman then, but he stepped forward. I remember interviewing him, me and like three or four other guys after the game was over. But you kind of are really anticipating when's Thompson going to have that game that shows you why he is a five star and what he's going to then, how he's going to fit into the pure mesh, the mesh of the Ohio State basketball team with the other guys, and how those other guys are going to accept him one way or the other. I know, you know, we can talk as cheap in terms of people being unselfish, but you got to see it. And I remember being there when Michael Jordan, it was plain to everybody, this guy's got to get the ball in key moments and shoot the rock. And Thompson, the video y'all posted of him, you and Patrick and others, he looks like a guy that can shoot the rock almost like you said, unconsciously.
Yeah, what's really cool, and I alluded to it earlier, he's already as tall as he is, and then his release is so high. Like, I don't know how anybody's going to really contest his shots. Like, he doesn't need to get sped up because nobody's going to really be able to get up and contest his shots for as high as the release is and as tall as he already is. So that bodes well for him as well. And he's certainly a smooth shooter. There's no question about that. You've seen the videos, and there was never any doubt about that he's a smooth shooter. And look, you know, there's no shortage of opportunities on Ohio State's schedule early on to go out and have that marquee game against marquee opponents, you know, on national television.
Yes.
That really announces a rival. And I feel like, you know, playing against these teams that are also going to be full of, you know, young stars as well and future lottery picks in the NBA, I would bank on him having one of those performances pretty early on that shows the world, whether it's in a win or a loss or whatever, that, hey, this kid's as good as just about any other freshman in the country.
Pivoting to football, we've got media days next week, as I'm sure you're aware. What most intrigues you about the Ohio State contingent and what you hope to find out from these guys headed to Chicago?
You know, it's interesting that the three guys they're taking over there, I don't think anybody would, you know, call any of those guys the most
loquacious
when it comes to
loquacious. Yeah,
there,
yeah.
There you go. That's a great word choice there. So it'll be interesting to see how much they're willing to say. I mean, you know, arguably the thing I'm most excited about from Big Ten Media Days is hearing Tony Petitti talk and just kind of getting his take on the landscape of college football right now. But, you know, from the Ohio State standpoint, you know, I don't know how much you could really expect any of those guys to say. You know, I guess if anything, I would say that I'm interested to see just how Julian approaches the whole thing, because, you know, in the past when we talked to Julian, obviously, again, he's a laid back guy. He's reserved. He's not going to say a whole lot, being that he needs to become a bigger leader and just be more of that vocal presence for this offense this year. I wonder if that translates to how he handles media availabilities as well. So I guess maybe that aspect will be interesting to see. But again, I don't think any of those guys are going to say anything that, you know, is really taking headlines that coming out of media days.
Hey, we're almost out of time. Just wanted to ask you, so your take, what's your major takeaway from the SEC media days, which, you know, I've watched some of the interviews and things like that through the week, as probably you did, or at least you've kept up with some of the things that have said. But just give me one take from the SEC. Does it seem a little desperate, meaning I used to be somebody?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, because they continue to, and they always have, they continue to go out of their way to tell the college football world that they're still the best conference in the country.
Wait, you know what? They have become the Dabo Sweeney of conferences.
Go.
Yes.
There you go. You know, it just, when you have Nick Saban going on national television and trying to tell you that having the last three national champions doesn't actually mean that you might be the best conference in the country, is just wild to me. And I understand that depth matters in conferences as well. But, you know, not too long ago, having three straight SEC national titles, you know, meant a whole heck of a lot in the whole argument about what the best conference in the country was. So it's just, it's a big eye roll listening to those guys down there, you know, continue to try to tell people that they're the best conference in the country. I obviously it's tiresome up here, and I don't really, you know, care to hear, but they're not going to relinquish that title, so it's really not surprising.
Yeah, they can just wear a title belt and just wander around and do autographs. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Dylan Davis from DellGazette.com. Dylan, thank you once again for joining us, my man.
Thanks, Ellis.
And we'll be back for our closing comments here on the Buckeye Show 97.1 The Fan in just a moment.
Drain. They're prepared.
Let's do it.
They're Ohio's undefeated plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling team. And they're here to tackle your problems. For plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling, there's only one team. The Waterworks. Better care, better value, better results. Call the Waterworks at 614-232-2222 or visit them online at thewaterworks.com. A proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Save time, reduce costs, and eliminate printer frustrations with Modern Office Methods, your award-winning managed print services provider. We know how to help your business reduce the cost of office printing by identifying necessary print and paper waste. We can improve your printer fleet and decrease the amount of printer frustration. Why wait? Start saving time and money today. Start with our comprehensive print fleet assessment by going to momnet.com and click on free assessment.
Join our degenerate gamblers, Steve Biddle at Scotty Vegas, every Sunday morning at 9 for On the Money.
Presented by Krieger Ford, your best bet for a new car or truck. Visit Krieger Ford on Morse Road today or go online at KriegerFord.com.
Come on over to Heartland. Join our family.
Now, where can you get a full suite of business banking services served up by well-trained, caring employees with unquestionable integrity? It's right here at Heartland. Relationships matter. I'm Scott McComb. Come over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Where banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Experience the ultimate gridiron experience at the Ohio State Football Training Camp presented by SafeLight and Bob's Discount Furniture, happening at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center August 6th through August 8th. Don't miss your chance to get the first look at your Ohio State football team. Bring your friends and family and dive into the excitement with inflatables, giveaways, and more. Tickets are limited, so get yours today to ensure you don't miss out on the fun. Visit Ticketmaster.com/Ohio State Buckeyes to purchase your tickets today.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Social media can be a cesspool. Allow us to navigate the waters. Hashtag Buckeyes.
Sponsored by the Waterworks. Call the plumbing, heating, and cooling technicians at the Waterworks and header today. Call 614-232-2222. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
By the way, that Dylan Davis appearance was brought to you by the Bryant Heating and Cooling Hotline here on The Fan. Want to let you folks know, just follow up on the announcement, you know, that you can attend the first three practices for the Ohio State football team this coming preseason camp. What you're going to see, who knows, but you can join in the excitement. Ohio State fans, I'll just read this to you. Ohio State fans, your first look at the 2026 Buckeyes is almost here. Join us August 6th through 8th at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for Ohio State football training camp presented by SafeLight and Bob's Discount Furniture. You'll get to watch practice live, get autographs, take photos with select players, and experience the start of a new season up close. You might even meet Patrick Murphy. Tickets are limited and going fast. Just $48 for general admission or upgrade to VIP for shaded seating, refreshments, and more. Secure your spot today at OhioStateBuckeyes.com. Don't miss your chance to be part of Buckeye Nation's kickoff to 2026. And for a team, you know, even though they're not hitting and playing real football at that point in preseason camp, Jeremiah Smith is going to be going at it 100% along with Chris Henry Jr. And, of course, Bo Jackson will be back in the swing. We didn't get to see him do much, if anything at all, in the spring. So there'll be a lot of things to keep your eye on. Riley Pettijohn coming back, the linebacker who was held out of spring, how he's going to fit into that mix. By the way, Phil Steele on the Tim May Show podcast, he basically pointed out his question mark on this team, if he has one, it is the linebacker core, only because of who they're replacing.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And how good those guys were, obviously, early first round draft picks. But what is your take on that? And because you really look at across the board, and you know, you see new guys in the defensive line room, but you see some old guys also stepping up, right? But the linebacker core, let's face it, it's hard to believe Sonny Styles is not going to be there after he was there as a 17-year-old and stuff, and now all of a sudden he's in the NFL. But right on down the line, but who are you curious about in terms of just that group?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think you can't expect to have the same level of athleticism, right? Those were two absolute freaks that you had playing linebacker. So I think that doesn't mean it can't be as good or productive or anything. It's just going to be different. But Riley Pettijohn, who you just mentioned, I think is a guy who, before the Buckeyes went to the portal and found Christian Allegro, that was who we expected to be that next guy up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now they get a more experienced guy. So I think Riley probably slots into that Arvell Reese role 2 years ago.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. That like secondary linebacker that's going to come off the bench, that's going to get experience. And maybe they'll use more three linebackers. We saw that a little bit in the spring game. But
you see Peyton Pierce in there from the get-go, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the natural progression of this, right?
Yes.
We saw it with, as I said, with Arvell, and then Peyton Pierce is like, we're grooming you to be that next guy. You're going to get opportunities to play in big moments and get yourself ready, which is, I think, you know, if you could do that at every position, work a guy into it the year before you know he's going to have to be the guy, I think every coach would take that, right?
I was going to say, T.J. Alford, I thought, looked really good in the spring, but he got a lot of opportunities because of some guys missing. And, you know, you never know when a guy's going to blossom. But Christian Allegro, there is no way Wisconsin doesn't miss him.
Yeah. I was looking recently at some projected depth chart stuff for Wisconsin, and the starting linebackers were guys I had to like do some research about because a guy like that left the building. So
well, kudos to you for doing research on Wisconsin linebackers.
Well, I was looking at Wisconsin's depth chart or projected depth charts in general because of Bryce West, who transferred there.
Yes.
And then I was like, oh, I wonder who's going to be. And I was talking to our Wisconsin guy at 24/7 Sports.
You went down the rabbit hole.
Yes. And was just like, I wonder who's going to replace Christian Allegro. But he's a guy. I mean, we obviously saw him in the spring, but he's a guy I think really adds a lot to this defense. Toughness, especially with the way he played against Ohio State.
Oh, my goodness. And by the way, Phil Steele thinks that team, I'm quoting him because he's, you know, I mean, he's extremely well respected.
He's Phil Steele.
And the results prove it on what he looks at preseason, how it plays out, which is uncanny to me, crazy. But he thinks Wisconsin could be one of those surprise teams that goes from 4-8 to 8-4 this year. Because you look at their schedule, that's quite possible.
Yeah. Well, and I look, if it doesn't happen this year for Luke Fickell, it might not ever happen.
Yeah, especially with the new athletic director.
Yeah, well, and you know they invested NIL and everything this year. It's kind of like what USC did a year ago.
The state has stepped up.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, like, it's put up or shut up time in Wisconsin for Luke Fickell. I think here, who I think we all are sort of rooting for because of getting to know him. Both you covered him as a player and then as a coach here. I want him to succeed, right? I think I would have liked it had it worked out better for him here at Ohio State in the year he got the opportunity. Obviously, Urban Meyer coming available.
He got to hire one guy. His name was Mike Vrabel.
That's true.
He's been the NFL coach of the year a couple times, but also of late gotten a little hot water.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, hot tub did look hot, didn't it?
Good point.
But I digress. I always like to ask people this, especially guys in the know like you, and I like people to ask me this, but who's that one team nationally right now? You've got your let's stay in the Big Ten. That one team before we break off here, because Ohio State, obviously, we know what Ohio State's all going to be all about. Oregon, what they're going to be all about. Indiana, Ohio State plays every usual suspect this year, which is kind of crazy when you look at the schedule.
Yeah,
and it doesn't include Penn State, which is not a usual suspect this year.
No. I just mentioned it. USC, I think if they can, you know, they had success last year, not as much as they would have liked, but I think 8-4 was where they finished. And I think that lessened the pressure on Lincoln Riley, but I don't think it alleviated it entirely.
Yeah.
And they've got some pieces. I like that quarterback.
They play both Ohio State and Oregon.
They do.
Which is interesting.
We're going to know, and we'll see it firsthand, but we're going to know what this USC team is throughout the course of the season. But that's a team I think could, you know, all of a sudden be in the playoff discussion. Whereas last year they were sort of a fringe playoff team for a while. Like, I think they could entrench themselves a little bit more.
The one win they needed, they didn't get.
Right.
You know, that's the way it goes. And by the way, they don't play Notre Dame. I mean, that just...
It is
weird. I'm telling you, they're messing... You're messing with the essence of college football just continually. That's what's more intriguing to me than all the hullabaloo about, you know, the transfer portal and NIL and things like that, and what Congress isn't going to do now, at least until middle or late, maybe August or September, because they're not going to get this bill done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if they'll ever get the bill done to the likings of Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey, which is going to be curious. One last thing. Just keep it quick. A player on Ohio State's defense that you're curious about and really kind of needs to come through, other than the guys we just talked about at the linebacker core.
Bo Atkinson.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think you saw what he did at North Carolina. If you watched his production there,
right.
It did not happen last year.
Right.
I've seen him when we were out at the recruiting camps. He's working hard this offseason, both by himself and with coaches. And so, you know, without having a true guy opposite Kenyatta Jackson there, you don't have a Caden Curry this year. That's a guy who has the experience, can step up, and, you know, I think there'll be a rotation at that
thing
spot.
About Bo Atkinson, he doesn't look like a pure natural guy. He's got to make it happen with a lot of effort and stuff. Real quick, mine are Terry Moore and Earl Little Jr.
Mm-hmm.
They Good both ones. Need to play extremely well. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been fun being here with Patrick Crew Murphy, and this has been the Buckeye Show. Here on 97.1 The Fan. Thanks for joining us.